Okay, today is the evening of March the 4th, 2012, and this is the evening house service. Now, unfortunately, Rosette's not able to be with us this evening, so you won't hear her beautiful voice chirping in the background. She has been very sick this afternoon. Remember her and all of our family in your prayers. We've been going through a series of, I think mine was food poisoning, but I think both Mark and Rosette's are cuts of the flu, possibly. I'm not sure. Mark, do you have a selection?
No. Yeah, I don't.
You don't have any?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, I need your help tonight now, you know. Your mom usually has plenty of selections to choose from.
113. 113. From every stormy wind that blows.
From every stormy wind that blows. We've certainly had those of us of late, haven't we? Okay. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat. Found beneath the mercy seat, is found beneath the mercy seat. There is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads. A place of all on earth most sweet, it is the blood-bought mercy seat. It is the blood-bought mercy seat. There is a scene where spirits bend, where friends hold fellowship with friends. Of the sunder far by faith they meet, around one common mercy seat, around one common mercy seat. Oh, whither could we flee for aid when tempted, desolate, dismayed? Or how the host of hell you meet, suffering saints no mercy see, and suffering saints no mercy see.
I like this song.
Yeah? You want to sing the last two verses? 112?
Yeah.
There, on eagle's wings we soar, and sin and guilt seem there no more, and heaven comes down our souls to greet, and glory crowns the mercy seat, and glory crowns the mercy seat. Oh, let my hand forget her skill, my tongue be silent, cold and still. Let this bounding heart forget to beat, I forget the mercy seat, I forget the mercy seat. How about 69, page 69. In the rifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms will last me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee. Long pursued by sin and Satan, weary, sad, I long to rest. Then I found this heavenly shelter, open in my Savior's breast. Peace which passeth understanding, joy the world can never give. Found Jesus I am finding, in His smiles of love I live. In the rifted rock I hide me, till the storm of life is past. All secure in this blessed refuge, heeding not the fiercest blast. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft once made for me. Jesus, blessed Rock of Ages, I will hide myself in thee.
Page 67.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let's sing 398. 398.
I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. In this world we have our troubles, Satan's snares we must evade. We'll be free from all evasions, where the roses never fade. Love wants God to be with Jesus, in their robes of white array. Now are waiting for my coming, where the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season, soon their beauty is decayed. I'm going to a city where the roses never fade.
You have any more?
No.
No? Well, why don't we end this section with 143, then we'll go to the next part of our service, 143. I'm glad the Lord said for two or three are gathered in His name, there will I be in the midst of them.
Yeah.
There's just two of us tonight.
Lowly He came from glory on high, here among men to live, suffer, and die. Rising He conquered the power of the grave, now He is living the sinner to save. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. For He shall save His people, wonderful is His name. Sweet to my soul is that story of old, never, oh never, a sweeter was told. Jesus Redeemer, there's no other name, Jesus my Savior, forever the same. Go and proclaim it in pity and love, Jesus the name every other above. Tell it abroad o'er the land and the way, tell of the Savior Almighty to save. Though at the moment for us to depart, shadows may gather and teardrops may start,
Then just you whisper that name in the ear, lightens the darkness and banishes fear. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, for he shall save his people. Wonderful is his name.
Dear Lord, we pray you would be with us tonight again in the service. As we always ask, we ask that you would guide our minds, our thoughts, and our hearts, and open your word to us. And we pray for Rosette. We pray that you would help her this evening. And if it would be your will that you would touch her body, thank you for the way you've helped Mark and I. We pray that you would continue to go with us this week and help us to glorify you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I was thinking today about the beauty of the earth and how that God, in his magnificence, created this planet with such awesome beauty. One of Mark's favorite songs is, "This is my Father's world." And we can look at this beautiful planet and realize that it was created by a magnificent designer. You know, the rocks and the trees and the mountains and the seas and the plains and the hills is just amazing. And we see revealed in God's nature, we see his personality. We see that he is very, very intricate. He's very specific in his design. He's very articulate in his majestic picture that he's painted for us in creation. He had a specific purpose when he created the world. The man would live on it and subdue it and would multiply and replenish it. And it is a beautiful world that we live in. Regardless of where we go, whether we go to the coast, whether we go to the mountains, or whether we go to the plains, whether we go to the Grand Canyon or the Royal Gorge or the Niagara Falls or Pikes Peak, Colorado, whether we go out to Oregon or North Carolina or whether we go to Florida or Arizona or those arcs, it's all beautiful. And not just the United States, the Swiss Alps, Europe, beautiful country. I've never been there. Canada, beautiful. And God has painted his fingerprint all over this planet. And not only has he painted his fingerprint all over this planet, he's painted his fingerprint all over his universe. The millions of planets and stars but it shows a very specific design. God has a specific design in everything that he does. He has a specific design in creation. And he also has a specific design in salvation. A specific design in the atonement. You know, God did not just say when he was creating the world, "Let the world be." He didn't say that. In 6 days he created by intricate design each specific part of creation, the animals, the firmament, the land, the sea, the stars, the sun, the moon, and of course man. Well, God didn't just snap his fingers one day and say, "Okay, this is it. This is the atonement now. And it's over with. No, it was a very specific design. It was planned out before the eons of eternity, before the foundation of the world. This specific design of God's salvation to his people was planned.
Excuse me.
And he also not only planned it out, but he foretold of it 2,000 years before it took place. And he said in his word, not only in Isaiah and Zechariah and the Psalms and many other places, that his salvation was for his people, not only for the Jews, but also to be a light unto the Gentiles. And I was thinking about, because I've been listening to readings in Leviticus, and the law of God is so clearly, specifically defined in the Levitical law, and how the people were commanded to obey God's law to a T. And if they didn't, they were cut off from their people. They were killed. I've often thought how many times I would have been killed if I had lived under Levitical law. That's how many times I have broken the Levitical law myself. Am I proud of it? No. Was I instructed in Levitical law as a young child? No. I was not. But you know what? Ignorance is no excuse for the breaking of God's law. Any more than we are excused from Adam's sin, the original sin of Adam, our father. And we are also responsible for our actual sin. And we're also responsible for sins that we commit in ignorance. But the good news is that God has provided a solution for our sin, as he provided a solution for the sins of those who sinned against him in the Old Testament, Levitical times. They were to bring sacrifices to atone for their sins. But you know what? Sometimes people committed sins in the Old Testament that they still had to give their life for because of God's Levitical law. They're prescribed in that book of Leviticus. I'm glad that we don't have to die today for sins that we commit. I'm glad that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who has gone to the cross and paid for our sins, and that we are no longer under the Levitical law. I'm glad that we, because, now when I say that, what I mean is we don't die every time we commit a sin. We're not stoned to death. If that were the case, with 60% of the people living in adultery, that would definitely decrease the surplus population. But I'm glad that Christ has come for his people, and he has given us a surety. He has paid a ransom for our sin. And this atonement is a sure foundation. When we think about how many times we've sinned against God, when we think about when we were younger, some of the absolutely stupid things we've done that were in total violation to God's law and his word, it causes us to quake at times and think, how is it that God is not has he not just literally showered us with his judgment of righteous indignation against us? But yet God has still been merciful to us through all of our grievous sins, maliciousness and all everything that goes with it. That's why Christ came, to save his people from their sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all of his people. He came to save his people from their sins. This grand design of the specific atonement, the specific salvation that he provided for his people, is something that should give all of God's people tremendous joy and hope. When we have no hope in this life, when we have no hope for the future here, you may be listening to this message, you may have terminal cancer, you may have a terminal illness, you may be looking at death just around the corner. We're all looking at death just around the corner. Every one of us. Apart from the return of Christ before at the last trump. But the specific design of salvation in God's atonement for his people is what should give us the greatest joy beyond anything else, because it gives us hope for eternal life. The fact that we have been given the faith to believe that he has died for us, the most unworthy subjects, we recognize our unworthiness of his atonement. We recognize we are not worthy of it. We recognize if anyone would be less worthy, it would be us. But we have so much hope because he tells us that he did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. That should give us a great amount of hope. And the fact that if you actually believe, if God has given you the faith to believe that you are a recipient of this atonement, there's no greater gift that anyone could ever give you, including a $35 million sweepstakes. Do you understand that? That $35 million sweepstakes might let you live in the lap of luxury while you're here on earth. But it would be for such a short period of time, eternity would still be facing you. But the gift that God has given you is for eternity. The gift of faith, the gift of salvation, the gift of the atonement, the gift of his grace, unconditional election, predestination. I heard someone the other night say, if I had to believe that my life, my destiny was determined by someone else, I would lose all hope. What a travesty. It's just the opposite for God's elect. The fact that he has predestinated us according to his own grace and mercy, he loved us before the foundation of the world, should give us the greatest amount of comfort, that we don't have to rely upon our pocketbook, upon our money, upon our wealth, upon our social status, upon our education, on anything for eternal life other than the fact that God has given us all these things in as regards to faith in his Son. I cannot explain how I have faith that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I cannot explain it, but I can tell you that I do. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And one of the reasons I believe he died for me is because I am so unworthy of it. I'm one of the most unworthy people that would ever, ever be a recipient of his grace, and that gives me hope to think that he might have died for me. The other thing is that it says in his word that he died for me. He says that in many, many passages, I can lay hold on the claims of his word and the promises that I have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for me, who are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. And, of course, one of my favorite passages in Jude, to him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. God is able. There's a song that says, He is able, He is able. I know the Lord is able. I know the Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. He is able, He is able. I know the Lord is able. I know the Lord is able to carry me through. Well, that's preservation. That is God's work of preservation in our hearts. And so it's good to know that God is able to carry us through any circumstance, anything that we have to go through in life, whether it be a fatal illness, a disability, a heartache, loneliness, lack of companionship, lack of resources, poverty, hunger, starvation, famine, drought, whatever it is, God has provided to us something greater than all of those physical needs. He's provided us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, when we started talking today, we talked about creation. We talked about the specific design of His creation. We talked about how that He caused His creation to be created in a very specific manner, in a very specific way. And we moved on to show that it wasn't just His creation, but it was also the design was specific in His atonement and His salvation to us. Why don't we sing 147b, Psalm 147. This is taken from Psalm 147, verses 12 through 20.
Salem, praise the Lord to God. Zion, praise express. For Thy gates far as He has made strong, Thy sons in Thee has blessed. He made Thy border peace on Thee, the finest we conferred. He sends forth His commands to earth, and swiftly speeds His word. Like ashes scatters He the cross, like wolves spread snow on land. Like morsels casting forth His ice, who in His cold can stand? Then He sends forth His mighty word, He makes His wind to blow. The snow and ice are melted, and again the waters flow. And yet this very word of His to Jacob He makes known. His judgments and His code of laws to Israel has shown. Not so to any nations round, did He in the place of court. In that His judgments they have not known, oh, do ye praise the Lord.
Lord, we're thankful we're gathered here together in Your assembly, of Your presence. Please be with us this afternoon and the rest of our lives. We pray, we love You, and worship You only in Christ. Amen.
Amen.